Three licks, a bite out of crime, and a San Francisco treat. It's commercials this week on Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Well, I'm having a great time with the volume level here tonight.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Hold on. Once again, we were doing stuff with the computer and I didn't move my chair over. Everybody ready? Okay. Hi, I'm here. Yes, the equipment is giving us a little bit of a problem tonight.
I think it's us.
No, here's the thing. I don't think it's us. I think it's you.
Well, why don't I move my chair now then? And we'll see.
This week has been, what's your week like?
Oh, it's just like every other week, the same drab, rolling into the next day with no end. That's not true. I had a great gig last weekend. playing with my friend Tyler, DJ Both Sides, living out here in Alameda from the East Coast, and had a really good time DJing with him. We did I did my monthly rhythm and blues review. This time I extended it out into 70s and 80s rhythm and blues, and so it was really cool. It was a lot of fun, and he's a great DJ. And
that's awesome.
It was nice to have a guest with me that I could listen to someone else playing and check out their records and be able to hang out with my friends and chat and socialize a little bit and have a cocktail. It was a lot of fun.
Great. I think that's cool. I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah. I'm sure that will happen.
He listens to our podcast.
He does. He listens to it a lot, actually.
It's cool.
Yeah, and he says he loves it. He loves it.
Well, we love you.
Exactly. yeah, he said he listens to it as, you know, as he's going to bed sometimes, just chilling out, listening to us talk about the 80s. And I was like, that's awesome, man. And he's like, you guys have got a good chemistry between you. And I was like, thanks.
You should have saw us 20 minutes ago.
I know, boy, really.
It was good.
All that belching.
B-sides. Our friend Lear came out to see you this weekend too, didn't he?
A couple weekends ago, yeah.
2 weekends ago.
Yeah, he came out to say hi and check out me spinning the records for my 25th DJ anniversary, 25th year DJing. And it's always nice to see him in person. He's a good guy. Dig him.
Cool.
Yeah. What about your week? Did you have any tooth pain?
No, tooth pain is good. Okay. A little jaw pain.
Mm-hmm. Well.
But I was talking to the dentist, and he's like, he wasn't there that day. And so he was like, well, it seems like you had 6 shots of Novocaine because your tooth wouldn't deaden. That's probably why your jaw hurts. I'm going to say, you just need to give it a minute and everything's going to be fine. And otherwise, it's been a quiet week. I've been, I interviewed for a job today and that was really fun.
Awesome.
Really fun. It was a lot of fun and it would be a really fun job. So I hope I get it, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
There's always other people and there's always competition. So
yeah,
but it would be fun. You know, I'm really looking forward to it if I can get it.
So the thing about competition is competition can accidentally fall down a staircase. And it happens.
Didn't you ever see Showgirls? Should we just watch that real quick? Because I would watch Showgirls right now.
What's the girl that broke the other ice skater's leg to have a movie about her right now?
Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, yeah, that's right.
She's on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, that's what happens when you don't have a broken leg, isn't it?
Well, Nancy Kerrigan was on Dancing with the Stars a few seasons ago.
Oh, well, good.
Good for but so I did that, and that was always interviewing in the Bay Area is very interesting, and you get to meet a lot of people and different, you know, people, the different people who run the company of startups, and so yeah. I had a really good time. It was fun.
And like being in this area, in the Bay Area, yeah. it's kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. It's very different.
Yeah, the culture is very, very different. Yeah. And I am, you know, we do a podcast about the 80s. I'm 48 years old right now. And so it is interesting to be around people who are so much younger and, you know, but I have things to bring to the table and it was really fun. And, but yeah, so otherwise the week was pretty quiet, really. But yesterday I texted you with some sad news.
Yeah.
About Harry Anderson.
Yeah, that I spoke so highly of in our TV sitcoms episode.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was sad to hear that.
And you know, only 67 years old. Yeah, I don't think that's really, that's not old.
No, it's really not.
And
70 is the new 50, they say.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, think like, I think back when we were little kids and when my dad, I may have told the story, but my mom saw me crying in my room and I was little because I was probably like 8. And I was crying. And when she came in, I said, "How are you going to be in a wheelchair when I graduate?"
Like, if you want me to.
And she's like, "I will." I remember clearly, I'm outing my mother. She said, "I will be 47 years old." Hmm. And I'm like, "Oh my God. Oh my God." And dad was 50 when I graduated and mom was 47. But now I think like I'm 48 years old and I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was the moment like when your mom did pull up on that wheelchair, though, at your graduation? What was your reaction to that?
I just wept.
I knew it. I knew it.
I'm a prophesy. I'm a prophet. I'm a prophesy. I prophesy. That's my movie.
It's great. It's like iRobot.
And I, Tanya.
Will Smith. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. The week seemed to be going by pretty quickly for me.
Yeah, it is. It's. I'm trying to think. Is there big things happening? The dog's gonna get groomed tomorrow. So I guess that's
huge.
Cool.
That's huge news. I mean, how often do as people we go to get our bodies groomed?
Ooh, you know what? I will talk about. I have mentioned many times on this podcast, I've mentioned My Favorite Murder, which is my favorite podcast. And so they released, you know, like do a podcast and, you know, you want it to be successful and you want people to listen. But, you know, theirs is such a phenomenon and they have toured the world and continue to. And so they just released their tickets for U.S. shows.
Great.
And there's one in Oakland and there's one in San Francisco. So, you know, you could join, they have a fan club now, and you could join their fan cult and get...
By the way, you can join our fan club as well.
Yeah, you can join our fan club as well. It is $2,001.
Send a self-addressed stamped envelope.
You know what? All it is $1,988. That's all you have to send us. We'll keep with theme.
It's a vow of faith.
It's a vow of faith. And you know what? We're going to keep giving you these cool sounds. These cool jazzy
sounds. Well, somebody has
sounds.
To pay for our new little... recording
our
portable
booths.
Sound booths that we have. It ain't going to be me, apparently, because you bought them.
Yeah, it wasn't you.
That was amazing how that worked out.
It wasn't you. So anyway, they put out all these tickets, and it was like on the Facebook page with all the other murderinos who listen to this podcast, it was just like mayhem. People couldn't get through. I couldn't get tickets.
Oh, wow.
It was like 50 minutes of like bonding in a horrifying situation where you weren't going to be able to go to this live show that you've just been coveting. And it was really fun to like be with that type of community of people.
Yeah.
And true crime people are really cool people and mostly women. All women. It's like, I posted a few things during that morning and like every single person who responded, most of the people on that page are women.
I find that very fascinating as a person who reads intense things in my life. I find that interesting that so many women are interested in true crime, and which I think is really intense. And I don't know if I could read about it. But I read World War II history and military history, gruesome wars and gruesome battles.
What you were telling me last night is horrifying. But even, you know, there's many, many true crime podcasts. If there's anyone listening and you want to start a podcast, I would just shy away from the true crime for the moment. There's just so many, and there's so many good ones. And then there's so many just other ones that I haven't even had a chance to listen to yet. But listening, you know, to true crime podcasts or watching true crime or even reading it's very popular because you know, there's this phenomenon of people soothing themselves during panic attacks while listening to My Favorite Murder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the kind of the famous line that one of the hosts said after they were heckled in Australia. The next night, they released the next night's recording. And, you know, she said, well, you know, there's so many people that come to our show, and in the meet and greet, they were like, you know, I have anxiety disorder and I don't like to leave the house, and everything was so fine until the man started to yell. And so people use it. It's so interesting how it's become this soothing thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, talk about the bad and then it won't come to you type of a
interesting
thing. Or it's, you know, well, what some I think people say.
Humans are just oftentimes naturally drawn to things that they can't understand. Mm-hmm. And
the macabre.
You know, yeah, and certainly the macabre. And, you know, for me, I mean, I started reading World War II survival stories at the time that I went through my divorce. And I found it extremely helpful to read about people that were experiencing things that were much, much more traumatic than I had experienced. And it was sort of like a way for me unconsciously to go, well, that person made it through, you know, 56 days on the open ocean with no food and no water. Like, well, maybe I can get through this. And I wonder if there's a relation to people that listen to true crime that also find kind of a solace in other people that experience things that are more intense than maybe they have in their life. And
well, and I think for a lot of people, I mean, it's generalizations, but for a lot of people, I think, for women, it's to also, you know, identify with the victims.
Yeah.
Also a way to, you know, their tagline is stay sexy and don't get murdered. And, you know, I have been somewhere where Jordan and I were talking about My Favorite Murder and a girl walks by me and goes, stay sexy. And I said, don't get murdered. And it's one of those things where it's like, it bands you together. So now these people who didn't have a group, a lot of them having anxiety disorders, a lot of people who write in say that they deal with that. And there's now this group, their Facebook group, and then major cities, or I'm sure regions, have their kind of own, like I'm part of the San Francisco East Bay Murderinos. And I've posted stuff about our podcast. I've posted stuff there, and they're so excited to take part. And it's this group. It's this group of people who may not have a lot of chance to be comfortable around people, but at least now they can be comfortable around people regarding true crime. And so there's meetups. There's all sorts of things. I'm going to go to the show in Oakland with our friend Melanie.
I wonder, are you a closet murderer? Is that what it is? Are you?
No. My God.
Because I'm beginning to wonder now.
I mean, I think that every time they talk about, like, sociopaths, I'm like, ooh.
Stop talking about me.
Everybody just needs to keep quiet right now, okay?
The more you talk about it, the
socio what? Sociopath says what? No, I don't think I'm a sociopath. I took enough online tests. They told me I was fine.
Oh, my God.
But we've been getting into this kind of bad habit where we check with each other, like, on Sunday night. Or, like, last week, it was, like, Monday night. It was like, what are we going to talk about on Wednesday?
Well, we've been working on your side project.
Yeah. We've been working on... I Want to Know About That, my new podcast, but Tom is producing that podcast, but you're producing that podcast. So we are much busier than we usually are.
We recorded three times last week.
Yeah, and we're probably going to do more.
That was awesome.
But it was fun, and it's really fun.
And it still takes us 3 hours to set this two microphones up. I don't know what is going on.
No, it doesn't take us 2 hours to set it up.
You know, it takes us 2 hours to watch all the fun videos that we get.
Well, that's what we did. That's we sat here and ate and watched videos. But recording the other night, we recorded an artist for the new podcast. And it was so really interesting to, you know, be across the table from somebody else besides you.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, we didn't even talk about that. Yeah, it was really interesting to sit here. You know, I sat in your spot. And then, you know, already, so that's odd. And then I was looking at, you know, this amazing artist instead of you, and you were just, I didn't want to turn away from the microphone, so I didn't see you. You were at the end of the table.
All I was doing was wishing I could interject every 5 minutes and going, I can't. This is not my podcast. I'm slapping myself.
But you liked it too. You liked, you know, adjusting as we were going and, you know, really producing it.
Well, it's fun to watch, to watch an interview. You know, I was interested in that and in the process of it. And
she's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be I'm really happy.
But I mean, that was seriously a thing. Like she would say something or you would ask a question and I would just be nodding like, yeah, I want in on this conversation. And I couldn't. And our good friend, Andrea, who is a regular listener of our podcast, has been commenting that she always wants to interject when she's listening and that, you know, we're talking about our thing and she's like, but I want to say something and I want to.
You know what? I see that too. Last week, our friend Chrissy wrote something on Facebook about candy.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh yeah, did you get this, this, and this? And then, we did something and I forgot to reply, but our friend Lear that we talk about, he wrote something where we forgot somebody on the Paul Young 80s.
Oh.
And he was like pretty upset about it.
Wait, I remember.
Maybe another episode, but it was, we forgot something and he could not understand why we did.
That's part of like the interjection thing, you know, the interjection thing, because Andrea said, Charleston Chew, Charleston Chew. And I was like, oh my God, I know. I wanted to say that one and I forgot. And she said, and a 100 grand bar used to be $100,000 bar.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yes. And that's, you know, I always associate that with Marathon Bar because they kind of went out at the same time.
But anyway, I love that our friends and listeners continue to listen, but that they give us feedback and comment on little things. But, you know, hence the, you know, part one of everything, because as we realized for tonight, for our commercials episode, how many commercials there actually were. There's more commercials than television shows. And so...
Yeah.
And I thought about it. Well, for every 1 hour or every half an hour of television, you're probably watching, you know, 10 commercials. And I forgot where I was going with that, but something about commercials. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about commercials.
Oh, thank God, because.
I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, because that's what we're going to talk about.
First of all, I do want to say that I think commercials are awful. I don't like them. Commercials nowadays seem a little bit, some of them seem a little bit more interesting. They're more story-based, you know, and they're filmed really well sometimes. But is everything okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I have a rebuttal to your statement, but go ahead.
Because commercials are awful. They're awful.
You know what?
They put songs into our heads that we keep for 30 years.
Thomas Patrick
Gagios. They lie dormant. They lie dormant in our consciousness. And then one day.
You sat here and you sang.
The Woodsy the Owl song.
The Woodsy the Owl song. You sang Zestfully Clean. You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean.
Procter & Gamble. We are gonna roll in the dough with this episode, by the way.
Hey, yeah. Do they still make Zest? Because I used to love Zest.
Well, we know they make Irish Spring.
Those commercials were whack.
They were bizarre.
Well, you know, when we were smaller, when we were younger kids in the 70s, there was this kind of through line of commercials with female leads in them, and they always stuck in my mind. So it was Madge, and she was a manicurist, and she would talk about, she would go, well, Palmolive dish soap is the best dish soap, and they'll go, oh, Madge, how do you know? And she was, and she said, you're soaking in it. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do.
And that was like, they did the whole series. I mean, everybody was soaking in it.
Because as if
their fingers are in the...
Why, though?
In the... So they're, you know, they after they
soften
work on
the
them,
nails?
Yeah, to soften the nails, they...
I see.
They put them in a, you know...
For some reason, that's not a strong selling point for me, that you can stick your fingers in it and wash your dishes.
You're soaking
You can stick your fingernails in it and wash your dishes.
And then the wonderful Joanne Worley, comedian who is still alive, she played Mother Nature in the margarine commercials.
Oh, I love that. And what about Mrs. Butterworth?
And Mrs. Butterworth.
I wish that bottle, like I always wanted that bottle to like come to life.
Me too.
And I was like, God, it's so cool looking.
I've had it, but when we were little, it wasn't.
Oh, we never once
we
in my
didn't
life.
Have it.
We did not have
it. We had Mrs. store brand.
Yeah, well, we had like, you know, maple flavored syrup.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't like actually syrup. No. It wasn't like
and
maple
it was,
syrup.
And as far as I'm concerned, I'm sorry, I'm going to piss off the people of Vermont in Canada. I prefer the maple flavored syrup.
That's disgusting.
It's just sugar water. I like it.
Yeah.
Great. Love it.
What about those maple candies, though? Or, you know?
Yes, I love those maple candies.
Okay, that's different.
So, you know, when we were growing up, there was a time, I want to say like 81, 82, where generic, where there were white boxes with a black bar on the top and on the bottom, and in the middle it said sugar.
Yeah.
Noodles.
I always remember being embarrassed that those were in the shopping cart, being like, oh, fuck.
And so we were somewhere and we went through this little town and we went into the local market and they had a whole aisle of just black and white cans.
I remember that.
And it didn't last for a real long time because then they started to go, oh, we need to put a picture of peas on it.
It has to be Safeway Select.
Yeah. And so now I buy the generic at the store. I buy the Safeway brand all the time. And it's the same stuff. It just doesn't have a white label with stark black writing on it.
I kind of wish it did still, though.
Well, I remember buying it and not knowing if I should be embarrassed or not because it was kind of like the poor thing.
That's why.
And now
that's
it's just a thing.
And that's probably why the cans changed color because, one, it wasn't marketable, and, two, people were probably like, well, I'm not going to buy it because I don't want to put it in my cart.
Yeah.
Because it's next to the real Coke and it's only 50 cents, whereas the Coke is $1. And like, yeah, cola.
Well, you know, we've spoken before that, you know, TV was and basically is now too. I mean, I like to listen to music a lot, but when I'm at home, I have Hulu on my iPad all the time. I like noise around, so I watch TV. But TV for me was, I watched it all the time. I watched as much as I could. My parents went to bed and I stayed up late always from when I was a little kid.
That's what my nephew does now.
And
everyone goes to sleep.
And so then I would go to sleep like at, you know, 1, like I do now, the same thing. Go to bed at 1, wake up at 7. And commercials, especially daytime commercials, like during the soaps and during all that stuff, you know, where it was the palm olives and, you know, all the soaps.
Cold medicine,
as opposed to the nighttime is, you know, not always, you know, there's kind of daytime
and commercials
night.
And stuff.
Yeah, and it's more restaurants, fast food. And then during the daytime, they cater to the people who, you know, work from home or are at home.
Yeah.
And those commercials are still like Swiffer and
heavily geared towards women.
Yes,
of the time because the stereotype,
especially
was,
in the time that we're talking about, heavily
the 70s and 80s was, well, boy, I mean, going way back,
and your kids,
but, yeah,
you know, and to you know, bring the kids in too. We don't have we're not going to talk about a lot of stuff that is kid oriented. This is more like adult stuff for the most part.
Yeah,
and then we've covered, you know, when we talk about toys and things, we cover some of the commercials.
Yeah.
But commercials were, you know, the times were different. The times were so different.
Yeah.
So when we watch these commercials, they seem so hokey. And because it was a hokey time.
It was like an over-the-top hokey
time. And it was so jingle-based.
Very jingle-based.
Every single one of these that I'm looking at has a jingle that we know and
that we remember.
What did we sing every word to? It was, the Zest commercial.
No, it wasn't the Zest. It was the dentine. It was the double mint gum and.
Yeah. Double your pleasure.
Double your pleasure. And then
double the fun.
I mean, I can't believe how many of those we remembered. And I'm like, God.
Well, and it was just such a, it was indicative of the time. It was very consumer, you know, the 80s were the me, me, me time.
And a lot of very 80s looking commercial with the, you know, like the milk commercials and all that with all the
stuff going on. And then in like most of the ones that were like trying to be now in 80s, there would always be a, this tastes good. It was always be, it, there would always be like a robot voice that came in because it was wacky and the robot would float across the screen. This is good.
That was some deep stuff.
But I remember soda was also, we've talked a lot about my household and soda through this thing, but it was soda-based, and it was very popular, and so, and I always liked, and to this day do, like, flavored, like, 7-Up that has a flavor in it, or a Coke with lemon, like, that's, I love that. So there's a bunch of machines.
What did I have today, right when we got here?
You had a Coke.
An ice-cold Coke in a, you in really, a glass with ice.
You just loved it.
I did.
You really just savored.
I did.
But there's those machines, I'm sure they're all over, where you can get, you know, whatever flavor of Coke product you want, and then you can add lemon, vanilla, cherry, lime. Oh, wow. There's one at Lola's.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know what you mean.
And so I still like to have, you know, flavored things. So Diet, or I'm sorry, Cherry 7-Up came out, and I loved it. I loved Cherry 7-Up.
I remember it now.
And the commercial was this, you know, real hot Italian guy, and it was black and white, but his shirt, his t-shirt was pink, and then the girl that worked at the place where he bought the Cherry 7-Up, her headband,
her 80s headband,
her 80s headband with her 80s big hair was pink, and then the Cherry 7-Up can was, you know, in color, and it was Matt LeBlanc from Friends.
And he looks like, how old is he?
He's probably like, you know, 18 or 19. He was young, and that was just like, oh, I want that. And it was just so, it was like, you know, we've talked about before, like the big nostalgia that was happening during the 80s was the 50s. So it's really a cross between 80s and 50s with the black and white and just showing the pink. And I can't remember the tagline, but it was something about,
it was basically a ripoff of Pretty in Pink, wasn't it?
It's something, yeah.
Doesn't
something
she in look pink. Good in pink or
yes,
something?
Doesn't, yeah, doesn't it look good in pink? Because it was pink. And so, and then the big soda commercial for me was, like we've said before, in the 80s when we were little kids, Diet Coke came out for the first time. And there's this commercial I showed you tonight where it is the biggest stars of the time, you know, Susan Anton.
It's a star-studded cast.
Yeah, star-studded cast, and it's Susan Anton and Joe Namath and
Carol Channing and Telly Savalas turning around saying,
and it's a, well, it's a big, it's at Radio City Music Hall. The audience is full, and they show each of those people having a sip of Diet Coke, and the tagline is, you're going to love it just for the taste of it. And then,
which is not
then there's the Rockettes are on the stage, and it was this huge thing, and it was, you know, millions of dollars. And then the camera pans, and Telly Savalas turns, and he goes, you're going to love it just for the taste of it.
Oh my God.
And like I said, when we were watching it, it was like, okay, hey, you know what? Someone needs to say it. You know what? Throw it to Telly. Telly?
Telly's got
Telly
it.
Can do, he can nail this.
Hey, I got this.
Yeah,
baby.
I got this. You're going to love it.
Listen, baby.
Wait, you're going to love it? Wait, you're going to love it. You got it. You're going to love it.
Well, what about the Diet 7-Up commercial that we watched where the woman starts off and they're like, for people who need it, for people who need diet, Diet 7-Up.
So they're like, Diet 7-Up. And they show a woman who's, you know, fine. She's not really overweight, but you know, she's not super thin with a child. And I think maybe it was more for the child, like it was no sugar. Maybe that's where they were going. And then they showed an older, overweight woman, and the young man who works at the store helps her put the Diet 7-Up in her cart at the grocery store. From the big tower. And then there's this real thin, pretty woman, and she's kind of scantily clad. And they go, now the people who don't really need it may have to be controlled not to buy it out. And the guy points his pricing gun at her and goes, freeze. And she goes, and so basically, and we looked at him and I stopped it and I was like, wait a second.
What?
Wait a second. Are they just saying that people who are overweight need Diet 7-Up, and the thin,
that is what they were saying.
The thin people just need to leave it alone and let the fat people have it.
It's just weird.
Oh my god, it was awful. I don't remember it either.
No, I don't remember that one.
So maybe that wasn't played very much. Well, you know what? No one, you know what? It probably played a lot.
Yeah, it probably was. Who knows?
It was shocking to me.
It was surprising, but that's one of those things that we keep coming across where you look back at this time period and some things appear to be far ahead of their time while other things appear to be lagging in time. And I feel like that was one of them. Like, I don't think that commercial wouldn't exist now. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, you never know, but I would hope that it wouldn't.
Yes.
I would hope that it wouldn't.
I agree.
You know, because I grew up with three sisters and I would watch a lot of TV that they wanted to watch, especially on Saturdays, like more teen oriented stuff. There's a couple commercials that stick out regarding remembering my sisters, and that is Shasta.
Oh, yeah.
Shasta, which is, I don't know if it's still in existence, but Shasta was one of those companies that had 10 or 12 different types of soda, you know, but it would be cola, cherry cola, orange, you know, basic, but it was a major company and they had big budget commercials and played nationally. And so those were big, and I remember watching them with my sisters a lot. But then Nair, which is the famous, we wear short shorts.
Totally love that one.
And we were watching it tonight. It was like, that girl, I've always loved that girl. There was a girl that was in one of the Nair commercials, and she was in tons of other commercials, and I just fell in love with her. And I just, every time I saw her on something, and I always just like, oh, I hope you get a series. Like, and she never did. I should look her up. But she gave it a try for a real long time. But I was enamored by her.
She just got all of her money and went on to something else.
I mean, yeah, because you could make money from commercials back then. Exactly. That was a profitable thing.
Shasta is still in business, by the way. Still
okay,
producing
good.
Cola.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I Wanna Pop, I wanna Shasta.
Which is weird that, again, that I remember that. When you first mentioned it, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I remember that. You know, I don't remember. And then as soon as I see the opening 5 minutes, 5 seconds of the commercial, I'm like, oh my God, I remember it. And I remember the entire song.
Well, because it's good. Because it's fun.
It is fun.
We talked about gum in our candy podcast chew it, but the gum commercials have like the best jingles.
They do. They all do.
And like we knew like every Big Red.
Big
Laugh
Red
a little longer.
Yeah, I used to love Big Red, by the way. Like when I did
like
chew
cinnamon,
gum,
right?
It was, and it reminded me of the little cinnamon toothpicks that you could get, and it would kind of burn my tongue for a second, and then it would go away. And but I did love the Big Red commercials. I also loved the Double Mint, which we just spoke of. And then as I went down to change my laundry and put my wet clothes in, or my wet blanket into the dryer this morning or this afternoon, all of a sudden I went, extra gum. I forgot for a second. That lead up.
That's exactly what it was. You know what I said earlier before we started recording, that you look like you're literally like from the 1960s right now? It's because your hair is so long.
This is the longest my hair has been in a long time.
It's like hippie length.
I can't
for
afford
you.
A haircut, so I'm just letting it grow.
You always keep it so nice and elegant, and but you still look great now, but it's just much longer than I'm used to.
Yeah, if it wasn't so long in the back here at the bottom, I'd be fine with it. The length on the sides and on the top, I'm actually fine with. It's how it does this.
Can we shape it into
Patrick Swayze thing
pictures.
In the back? This is like the beginning of a Patrick Swayze.
Swayze!
Swayze!
I love you, Swayze!
I got my haircut like you! I don't know what any of that means.
I do love Swayze.
But yeah, the gum commercials, I loved them all. They were great.
And there were, yeah, everyone had a really interesting.
Well, there was jingle. Extra flavor for that extra long sail. Blah,
extra
blah, 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 for that
extra
long
rail.
But it had NutraSweet, which was a brand new artificial sweetener at the time.
Yes.
And caused millions of deaths.
Extra with NutraSweet. A bunch of these were like featuring NutraSweet. I was like, oh, no, don't say that so loud.
No. Yeah, that was crazy.
So the commercial and it always being featured on Price is Right. I love the commercial and I always wanted to go to San Francisco. Rice-A-Roni.
Rice-A-Roni, I still love to this day. And I love it because when I was a young boy growing up in Santa Cruz, my grandmother, who was a second generation San Franciscan, she loved Rice-A-Roni, and it was the San Francisco treat, right? So like the big deal, and it had the little cable car on the front, and all the commercials in the 70s had the cable car, ding ding, with it going up and down, you know, High Street or whatever. And so it was actually a San Francisco treat for my sister and I, because when we went to my grandma's, we knew we were going to get Rice-A-Roni. And it was always a big deal. And to this day, when I buy a box of Rice-A-Roni, I think of my grandma Barbara.
Oh, that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Hope she's doing well up there. but yeah, so Rice-A-Roni was like a big deal. Also, in my immediate family, my sister and father and mother and I, Hamburger Helper was a huge one for us. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of basically the same thing, really.
I mean, yeah, you just add ground beef. Brown ground beef and then add all this stuff and you make what we call a hot dish up north.
And I eat like pounds of that stuff these days. You know, that's like my favorite kind of thing. Like a one pot meal is my thing. Like give me a one pot meal and then a bunch of cookies.
Tons of flavor.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to have too many dishes. You just plop it all in one spot.
But Hamburger Helper was... the little oven mitt.
The little oven mitt that talked.
And he was super cute.
Like the Pillsbury Doughboy. It was all like claymation.
And he would just kind of go back and forth.
Yeah. And he would like wave at you with his finger and be like, bye.
And he had a voice like that.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did. But so I feel like those kind of commercials, you know, when we watched them, we were like, yay. Like that was one that we really liked because like, oh, I love Hamburger Helper the most. It's so good. When I was a kid, that was my favorite.
We had a lot of that. And then they came out, that company came out with, Buddy Crocker.
Yeah.
Came out with like pasta sensations. So it was like cold pasta salads.
I remember that, yeah.
It had the pasta and then you cooked it and then you made pasta salads. And Mom really thought that was metropolitan. So
it's very.
We made a lot of pasta salads. That was a real big deal. But I, you know, when I was confirmed in the Methodist Church, and I guess so I was like 12 or 13, I think you're 13. So I was confirmed, and for my confirmation, I got everything that I wanted. I got a poster, a t-shirt, and it was like a trucker cap, and they all said, where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
I mean... the cap said, where's the beef? The t-shirt... had Clara Peller, the old lady from the Wendy's commercials, with her hand up, you know, like she did with her finger up going, where's the beef? And that's what I wanted. And the poster was the same thing. And that's what I asked for.
Wow.
Because it was such a phenomenon. Clara Peller, this old woman. So there are three in the original commercials. I think there is 8 or 9, but in the original one, it was 3 old women and there was a humongous bun, and they opened up. Then they're like, "It's quite a bun. It's a big bun.
It's
quite
very big bun.
It's very big bun. That's a fluffy bun." And then they open it up, and the hamburger is just, you know, like in the very, very middle of it. And Clara Peller goes, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?" Over and over. And then they did a bunch of when she was in the drive-thru and she pulled up and said, where's the beef? And this old woman made a career out of where's the beef?
She did. She really did.
I mean, and everyone had it.
And she was old at the time. I was thinking about it while we were watching it. I'm like, that age of people, she must have been in her what?
80s.
80s at least, right? I mean.
Yeah.
I thought about that. I was like, wow, she was alive during World War I. Like, that's how old this woman was in the early 80s when this commercial came out. Like, oh my God.
But she got very famous.
She did. And she was on, I told you, I watched a clip from a Steve Lawrence interview from the 80s that she did where he kept asking her questions and she kept responding with, you know, some variation of where's the beef. It was like, you know, where's the Steve? Where's the Steve? Or something like that over and over again. And the audience would every time go, oh, and she's wearing the little dress, you know, the little dress with the doily collar.
And yeah, she was cute and she was kind of, you know, so she passed away in 1987.
Oh, wow. Wow. She didn't live long after that. Remarkable.
Yeah, and she was born, you're right, she was born in 1902, so she was 85 years old.
Yeah, okay.
So she was 80 to 81 when she made those commercials.
That's amazing.
And then she lived a few more years. I'm sure she made quite a bit of money. You could then, like I said, when you were an actor.
I mean, who would have known that tagline would be? I mean, do people even know it now?
I think people are, you know, probably someone who... Okay, I'm going to alienate a lot of people.
Again? Well, it's been a few episodes. Let's go ahead.
Probably a lot of you, like, straight white guys who think that you're funny.
And why are you looking at me?
You think funny little things are funny. That guy might say, oh, well, where's the beef? And think it is the most hilarious thing, and his friends will too. Now, that is not... I am looking straight at a straight man right now who has said where's the beef several times when we were swimming. No, you didn't.
Well, I'm going to start. I'm bringing it back.
Bringing the beef back. Yeah, will you... So you brought up to me the other night when I sent you a list of commercials, you brought up to me the public service announcements, some PSAs.
PSAs.
And right away I was like, oh my God, yes. I mean, there's lines from these PSAs that are still used today. Now that, on the other hand, is another thing that some people might say is funny. You know, there's the classic, the dad... You know, PSAs were a public service announcement, and they would come on and talk about issues of the day. Drugs, sex, AIDS. There's one where a dad walks into his son's room, and he said, is this, what is this? Is this yours? And he has a cigar box, and it's full of pot. Like, bag after bag after bag of pot.
I mean, that kid fucking scored.
And he's like, where did you get this? And he goes, it's yours. I learned it from you.
And then dad looks at it like, this isn't mine. How did I not know I had this? But I use that line all the time.
You do.
And no one ever gets it unless they're our age.
I laugh hysterically.
And, you know, people are like, well, where'd you learn that? I'm like, I learned it from watching you, okay? And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, God, it's a commercial from the 80s. Never mind. I'll have to do a podcast episode to explain it to everyone.
Explain it, but it's so good. And it is. It's a classic. But you know what? The thing, unfortunately, in the time, and I don't know if it still will today, but... PSAs just were that. They were kind of, they became, I hate to say this, but like people made kind of parodied them.
They did.
And things like that, people would say it and it became a joke, you know, even though it was very serious. But tonight we watched a couple that I had never seen about crack in particular. Crack was, you know, a relatively new thing in the 80s and not much was known about it. And so they had, we saw two versions of the ad. The first one was with Clint Eastwood, and the second one was with Paul Rubens as Pee Wee Herman in character.
High as fuck.
Talking about crack. So he's like, do you know what this is? In like the Pee Wee voice. And I was like oh, this. Geez. I mean, he tried to make it serious.
Yeah.
He really was like bringing it down, but he was still in character. So I thought that was very odd. And, but there's the classic. What's the biggest one of the decade?
This is Your Brain on Drugs.
Yeah.
And it's the guy, real tough guy.
Yes. Real no nonsense.
Yeah, no nonsense. It's just like some kind of guy. He's been through it. He knows all about it. And he's like, and he's some people still aren't sure what's going on with drugs. He's like, let me show you. And he gets a pan out and he points to the pan. He's like, this is drugs. This is your brain. He cracks the egg and he tosses it in the pan.
In a hot pan.
And it starts frying. And he holds it up and the camera pans in. And he says, any questions? And it's just supposed to scare you and go, oh my God. But they don't tell you what drugs are doing that. It's just drugs, just like the blanket drug.
Any drug is going to do that to your brain.
It could be marijuana. It could be. It's certainly not alcohol, which is ironic because actually that's what alcohol is doing to your brain. But those ads were created by an organization called the Ad Council, and the Ad Council came about during World War II, in 1942, to help garner support for the war effort. And the Ad Council created ads, you know, about, you know, mostly radio ads and things about, you know, saving your oil and rationing and growing your own victory garden and, you know, recycling steel and metal and things like that to, you know, to support the war effort. And so that's what the Ad Council got started in. And they, you know, starting back in World War II, started doing ads, you know, for the Red Cross and things like that. Up on into the 50s, they started doing wildlife prevention. So all the Smokey the Bear commercials. Into the 70s, the pollution commercials with the now famous / infamous crying Indian, Cody Iron Eyes, who was actually not... Iron Eyes Cody, thank you, who is not actually a Native American tribal member. He was an Italian American, but he lived that part and he played that part. And
I mean, he lived it in life, right? But that commercial, he wore those.
He wore that outfit all the time, including a wig with braids and his moccasins and things like that. But you know, those commercials, that commercial in particular, in I think it came out in 1971. It played for several years after. It really moved me, and it I just. Something about him, that tear and him crying at the end, looking when the guy hurls the trash out of the car and it smashes at his feet. I really felt, I mean, the commercial made the impact on me. It first of all, I had a reverence for First Nation people when I was a kid, for Native American people. I was enamored by them and their lifestyle and the various tribes that I knew something about. Through my fourth grade teacher, Mr. Sutherland, and he taught us a lot about the Hopi and the Sioux and Southwest tribes and things like that. So that commercial really had an impact on me, and you know, I loved the character. I thought he was beautiful. I didn't know until a few years ago that he wasn't actually a Native American, but at this point, like, the commercial made its impact on me, and you know, and then they did, you know, Peace Corps. Commercials, the toughest job you'll ever love. United Negro College Fund. Yeah. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. McGruff the Crime Dog also was at Ad Council.
Well, here's the thing about the McGruff. When you know, right when you start to watch something, you're like, oh my God, yes, oh my God, we saw that 1,000 times when we were little kids. Yeah. But so McGruff was a cartoon dog, and he was like a crime dog, so he was like a detective, and
he had the detective, he has my exact overcoat on.
Yeah, he has like a trench coat on, and so the animation of this standing dog is over live action, and so they did, I don't know how many, but probably 10 to 20 commercials, different scenarios, and so it's a little girl walking and this guy opens his creepy 80s car door, and McGruff says, that's Jenny. That's not Jenny's dad.
That's scary.
And then they really, like, say, you know, 60 children.
He says 20,000 children a year.
A year get kidnapped. One, do you want it to one. Be you?
Yeah. He's one like, if one. She gets in this car, this might be the last time anyone ever sees Jenny. And you're like, damn.
It was so much harsher than I remember.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
And I don't think that anyone would let their little precious ones be spoken to like that today. But I think that's what needs to happen. I mean, it was rough. It was hard. It was McGruff.
Well, you know, that happened to my sister and I once when we were probably around the time the commercials came out. We were very young and we were trusted to walk home on our own from school and things like that in the 70s and in the 80s. And one time a guy pulled up, two guys pulled up in a lowrider while we were walking up this 2-mile stretch of mountain road with no one around, and they scooted over in the seat and they motioned for us to get in, and we both shook our heads and they were like, get in, and we were like and then we got scared and we were like, no, we're not getting in your car. And a neighbor ended up pulling up and they drove away, But my sister and I became that close to that reality where I believe we were almost kidnapped.
Wow.
And it was terrifying. My parents still let us walk home by ourselves after that. Anyway.
Nothing like that happened again.
No, no.
To go way off of the subject that we're on right now, but I don't want to forget Dr. Pepper.
Uh-huh.
Because it started in the 70s, but it kept going way into the 80s. And that was, you're a pepper, I'm a pepper.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Dr. Pepper, be Dr. Pepper. Even if we don't know the exact words, we can still hum the tune.
We can still do it. And when I worked at a talent agency, David Naughton, who was the Dr. Pepper guy and was also the star of American Werewolf in London, was a client. And I just loved him. And he was really funny and cool. And we would sit and have conversations. And he's really, really witty. And his son is an actor here in San Francisco.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. He has a pretty good theater career going here in the
interesting.
City. So I loved that. And he wore a vest. And I just thought he was real cute. So, of course, I crushed on him, and then I got to meet him, and I was like, ooh, I love you.
How about Vince and Larry, the crash test dummies?
Man, you know, those crash test dummies were such a big part of my childhood, but it's interesting how you put stuff out of your mind.
Yeah.
Or remember them differently. First off, they're very serious, but yet they're always joking.
They're joking around constantly.
I mean, it's two crash test dummies with these very funny voices, you know, very humorous. You can tell that the people behind them are humorous, and they are crash test dummies, so they get, you know, thrown out of car windows at high speeds.
The car flips over.
So they're showing all these horrible things, and they show them all kind of gnarled, and their heads are separated from their bodies, but then they couch it by them then saying something kind of humorous at the end, like, don't let this happen to you. Ha ha. Like,
oh, God. You could learn a lot from a dummy.
And that's the catchphrase. You could learn a lot from a dummy. And it was, I don't know, it was a mix of like shocking and disbelief when I was watching them. Like, wow.
Well, because I didn't realize when they were coming out that seatbelts, you had to have a seatbelt in the car, but you didn't have to wear it.
Yeah.
You didn't have to wear it until a certain.
I was saying that in 1987. I remember Minnesota starting it, and then I think North Dakota was actually after that. And so we didn't wear seatbelts my whole life. Until I moved to Nevada and then California, where it was a law.
We were seatbelt oriented family. My mom collected.
But it was probably a law here earlier, right?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up. That'll be interesting to find out when the seatbelt laws came into existence in California, because my mom was driving with my sister when she was about 2 years old. My dad was driving the car, and my mom had my sister in her lap, and my dad put the brakes on, and my sister hit the dashboard. And that's when we started wearing seatbelts. Like, we had to wear seatbelts when we were kids. Like it was a big deal. But I seem to remember when the seatbelt laws went into effect. I'll have to look that up.
Hey, I did. It's June 1st, 1986.
Okay, that's what I thought. So
you were like 16.
And that's what I gathered from the commercials, is that they were saying, you know, you should wear your seatbelt. You should wear your seatbelt. They weren't saying you have to buckle up. It's the law, which is what the commercials say now.
Yeah, yes.
It was, you should be wearing your seatbelt, which is really terrifying.
Well, and that's what I think, like, we were almost out of high school.
I feel like those dummies didn't really get that point across. I feel like if they were like real people, like covered in blood with their, you know, legs bent backwards and torn off from going through a windshield, that would have more of an impact.
Well, yes, but that these were strictly Saturday mornings during cartoons.
They were. Do you remember the Yul Brynner commercial where he recorded shortly before he died, and it was sort of a PSA as well about smoking, and it was an interview with him being done, and he was actually dying of cancer at the time, and they said, what, you know, what's one thing that you would tell people? And he looks at the camera and he says, don't smoke. And I mean, like, that, like, oh my God, like, the impact that had.
And then the famous commercial of Kathy, the woman who's talking about smoking, and it's her face, and then they go out and she has a stoma.
Oh, the
hole in her
throat. Yes.
Because of smoking.
Yes.
That was around that time too.
Well, now they have the commercial where the person actually puts the cigarette in the hole and they take a puff. And the cigarette commercials now are really, really, really powerful. They're very powerful. And same with seatbelt commercials and driving commercials. I watched a couple of those commercials from Australia or New Zealand, I believe, where the guy isn't paying attention and he's driving the car and the other guy pulls out in front of him with his kid in the car. Yes. And the cars stop in slow motion and they both get out and they talk for a minute. And he's like, I'm sorry, I wasn't looking, I'm sorry. And he's like, okay. And he looks back and his kid's in the back seat and he knows that his child's about to be killed. And they have this conversation and he's like, I just wasn't looking, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I don't know what to say. He's like, why didn't you look? Why weren't you looking? And he's like, I'm sorry. And then they get back in the cars and they smash into each other. And it's like, oh my God. So like,
that's brilliant.
They're so good, you know, and they have such a, I mean, not a pun, but they have such an impact. Like, oh my God, that's just intense. But the 80s was tapping at that door. Like they didn't have anything like that in the 60s. You know, you didn't have seatbelts in the 60s. Everyone in the world.
Took 27 years to get them in California.
And your doctor told everyone that they should be smoking Marlboros because they were good for your throat.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. Wow.
It was a different time.
Very. Another thing that I was thinking about today, I was going through my notes and writing stuff down, and I was like, what are some other commercials? I was kind of brainstorming. What are some other stuff that I haven't heard or seen for a long time? And that was military recruiting, armed forces recruiting commercials. And each one had their own little saying. And, you know, I was a kid, as I've said many times before, who was into to history and camouflage and tanks and helicopters and airplanes. And so all these commercials appealed to me very much. But the big one, which is still known but not used, which is for the U.S. Army, which was Be All You Can Be.
Yep.
And they don't, people in the military joke about that now, but I don't think most people really know what that is. Where they would say, you know, we do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. And it's like, you know, these guys loading up their helicopter or something. The Navy's was, it's not just a job, it's an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
The Marine Corps was, we're looking for a few good men. United States Coast Guard was, U.S. Coast Guard, an armed service. And more. And then they had one that was just a general recruiting ad for any branch, which was Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines. We don't ask for experience. We give it.
Give it. Yeah.
So that was a big deal. But I used to love those because, you know, they had all the camouflage and all the tanks and the paratroopers jumping out of the back of the C-130s. And I just thought, yeah, that's so cool, man. Like, that's so cool. And like when the Army commercials would come on, sometimes I'd be playing G.I. Joes with Robbie and Andy and we'd stop and we'd watch and be like, yeah.
Super fine. No, that's
no. That's good. That's for the Marines.
Marines, yeah.
Yeah.
Not for your Army men's.
Not for your Army men's. Do not mix the two. But yeah, so I love those. And then one of the advertising agencies called the Dancer Fitzgerald Sample Advertising Agency was on Madison Avenue in Chicago, and it was created in 1923 and closed down in 1987. But they created a lot of those ads. They did the McGruff, the crime dog. They did the Wendy's, Where's the Beef? Toyota, Oh What a Feeling. They did Cheerios and Olympia Beer and several others that were really popular. And so I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard of them before.
Very.
Yes. Then there was all the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints commercials that were huge. That were all kind of positive, I thought. I seem to remember them being, you know, like, don't lie. And, you know,
they were trying to get people into their religion.
Yeah. If you don't, you know, if you throw the ball through the neighbor's window, like, you should fess up and don't lie and tell them it was you. And
That's the other interesting thing is, were there many commercials about, there was no commercials about going into the Catholic Church.
No.
There was no commercials about come be a Methodist, you know? So it was very interesting that, that a religion not only did ads, but did ads that are very famous. that are very well known and probably still are in some form, in some market, are being ran.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure there are.
In this day that we live in now, where commercials exist, but you don't watch them usually because you're DVRing everything and fast-forwarding through them.
Which was when I lived at my sister's couple years back, a year or so ago. That was one of the great things about watching television with my sister, is that we could just snap right through all those commercials and be like, great, because I am so... And, you know, commercials, they play the same, right? They're just in a rotation of the same, you know, six or seven commercials that you see over and over and over again. And oftentimes the programming is incorrect in that they'll play the same commercial three times in a row, which actually isn't legal, but it just happens. Do you remember... You do, because we just watched the commercial for it. The verbal abuse commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Where
I'm glad you mentioned that.
It's the close-ups of all the parents' mouths saying really
horrible. I wish you were never born.
Yeah, why don't you find somewhere else to live? Hey, stupid, aren't you even listening? And it was like,
and it just intense. It just shows the mouths of the parents. That's all it shows. Everything else is blacked out.
And then it... And then it says, children believe what their parents tell them.
Yeah.
And then the camera focuses in on this, you know, beautiful little blonde girl with these big blue eyes that looks horrified. She looks like Newt from...
She does, yes. She looks like Newt
from Aliens.
Yes.
But these big blue eyes, and she looks so sad. And gosh, I wonder, is that her?
No.
No. Anyway, that commercial had a big impact on me because, you know, there was... There could be a lot of yelling at my house when I was a kid. And anytime that commercial went on, I always wanted to like nudge my parents and be like, you guys watching this one? You watching this? But they weren't.
Well, speaking of happy times, do you remember Pampers, the baby races?
Oh, they're like,
the
baby races. And they're like all dawdling around when they're...
And there's these little babies with like different numbers on their shirts, and they're all in Pampers, and they let them go and they all run.
A lot of very shiny white babies.
A lot of really super shiny, brand spanking little white babies.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I guess I love commercials after all. I take it back. You know, I do recall there being television specials that were retrospectives of commercials from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Do you recall that?
Yeah.
Like in the 70s
and
80s?
With all the old black and white, like the, the little plop, plop,
it would
fizz,
be like,
fizz.
Yeah, it would be like an Ed McMahon.
Alka-Seltzer guy,
yeah. Yes, exactly. Oh, but yeah, Alka-Seltzer. You know, I do have a memory of being homesick one day with the flu. And in Scotts Valley with our two channels. And so, you know, the only two channels that we got on our black and white TV played soap operas. And
of course,
I remember,
yeah.
You know, my parents being at work and my sister being at school, and I was kind of like left alone by myself to be sick. And my mom and dad would be calling to check in on me all day and be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm just watching TV. They're like, go ahead and watch TV, which they didn't ever let us do. But of course, the only thing is on were soap operas. But all the commercials for cold medicine used to drive me fucking crazy because they were the same commercial and I'd have the flu, right? And it would be like, oh, just drink this NyQuil and, you know, things will be great. And that's where the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, stuffy, coffee, achy head, fever,
so you
can rest medicine. Which reminded me, when I was thinking about it, of the McDonald's, or was it Burger King? The two patties, all beef, pickles.
No, that's the Big Mac.
Yeah, the Big Mac.
Big Mac, McDonald's.
Yeah, so that was one that I couldn't remember off the top of my head, but I remembered back then.
And then... have it your way, have it your way, have it your way. That was Burger King, because you could just order whatever you wanted.
Do you remember the one that came after that? We do it like you do it when you do it like we do it at Burger King.
No.
Yeah, that was another one. So how do I remember this stuff? Like, that's the brilliance of advertising and commercials, is that, well, like we were talking, 30 years ago, we listened to these and we remember them.
And now, do you guys think that we should probably record an album after all the singing that we're doing tonight?
Please write in.
Please, if someone wants to come and produce a record for us,
here's
we'll
Dick
do
Clark
it.
To give you the phone number list. If you're in California, dial 777-12. in Arizona, 77713.
All right, Dick.
This list is long. Please bear with us. The first caller we receive.
So I'm glad that we grew up in the time when commercials were watched, because it brought back so many memories. It really brought me back to a certain time watching them all, and it was really cool. But so thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening.
As always, and please rate, review, and above that, subscribe. Please, if you're on Stitcher, subscribe to us on Stitcher. If you're on Google Play, subscribe to us on Google Play. And iTunes, subscribe to us. It helps us. And also the rating and reviewing, we really, really, really appreciate it a lot. But we're trying to make this little engine go, and we're doing pretty good, but we want more people to join us,
Choo-choo.
Too. And so thank you so much. I'm really thankful. And
I'm really thankful, too.
Yeah, I'm very tired at this moment. I am so hunched down. I'm like, I can't.
Well, next time we can't spend 2 hours watching fun commercials. Yeah, we just need to get to work.
That's what it was. We hung out, and we should have just set up.
We should never hang out.
Well, because I said, can we just hang out for one goddamn second? I've just had a day. I just need to just calm down. And so that's maybe my doing. But all right, stay awesome.
Stay rad.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you.